Welcome back to another episode of Life With Your Dog podcast. My name's Luke. I'm joined here by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Panos. What's going on, man?
Very good, brother. How are you?
Can't complain.
Perfect.
A little bit of sleep deprivation. Me is teething, but that's dad life.
Me is teething. Every 2 hours, we're awake. It's like, what is my life?
Rach does most of it. I can't complain.
Yeah, but it's still a thing.
Mm.
And I think
about that's you? What's up?
What's doing? No. Well, my son sleeps through the night, so we're good. Well, except,
Teething, she's actually, so like this week, she's kind of going through a little bit, but last week she had started to sleep through. So I think we might be light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, for sure. And then the new thing, the next thing, the whatever. That's cool. We just stay strong through our responsibilities and that's what makes us totally sharper at the end. But yes, I guess- sir. So there's something that kind of ties into what we're going to talk about today. Actually, I had a couple of things written down for topics. However, I was speaking with Angie. She is one of my clients and also was helping with my group classes, helping me run the class. And she's awesome. Her dog Gunner is also really good. Really funny. When I met Angie, was our first session. I went to her house and she had been like, oh my God, just demonstrate and show me what you've been doing. And the dog and Gunner was around about maybe 7, 8 months old. And she'd be doing all this stuff. And I'm like, hey, this is really, really good. And I'm like, so where, like, I'm here now, but like, where, how did you learn this stuff? And she's like, oh, I've just been listening to your podcast and just been implementing the things. And I was like, that is so cool. So I was expecting, oh, I'd seen another dog trainer or I have a course and I've been doing that. But the information came from, and that was maybe at least two years ago. So that was really cool.
But good to know that it's actually helping people.
And also reflects how Angie is. Like, she's obviously, you know, somebody like hands down with common sense. She's smart.
First for knowledge.
Yeah, she's thinking forward. She's being proactive. So the resources are everywhere from many different platforms for everybody. It's all up to you participating. And even just listening to something isn't good enough. You have to actually actively do it. Like, you can buy the vitamins, but if the vitamins stay on the shelf and you don't consume them and consume them correctly, then it's just as good as you not having them.
Well, so, even in terms of learning, like if you watch or read or listen to something once, within 2 weeks, you've forgotten 81%. There's a whole thing on it. It's called the learning. If you Google the learning pyramid, you can read more about it.
That's why if you really want to digest something, they say 16 times. I'm pretty sure I've said this.
It's a lot.
Have I said that 16 times on the podcast? Because if I said that 16 times on the podcast, then you will remember. It's a lot.
You have to listen. You have to repeat, you know, you have to repeat it multiple times.
And then we are in the information age where information is just so available and it's in our face, constant information. Sometimes, and I've been telling people, and I do this for myself, is no more information. For the next 2 months, no more podcasts, no more digesting anything. You are now going to implement what you're doing. You're going to write down the next qualities that you're trying to implement within your life, whether it's dog training, whether it's just life or business or family, whatever it is, any thing that you are, you need to be able, like, you know, you think you've researched all the information. You may have even memorized it where you sound cool at a social gathering where you can just spit out all this info. But if you're not actually doing it and following it through, then it's useless. So I think just like how many people go to seminars just to be at the seminar, not really to absorb the information, let alone actually implement the information. So implementing it is a skill set in of its own. Obviously, Angie had that. She had the intention to listen and then to follow through. So with that comes a question that is a little bit more on the, it has more depth to it. It's not just on surface level. So as I said, Angie helps out at group class. Sometimes she'll pull Gunner out and participate with whatever she's doing, or he would just be in a downstay on the bed or just laying somewhere or tethered somewhere. So all of those above. And he would just know exactly what to do. He'd lay down either next to Chili or somewhere or separate and just lay down and just watch or just go to sleep. While there's like 10 dogs barking and doing their own thing, throwing balls around, foods. So one thing about group class is it's just like going to school. You act a certain way at school. You learn at school, but can you, like, what are you like in a playground or at a friend's house? Like, are you the same thing? Because group class is such a structured situation, same place, same sort of people. Dogs change every 4 weeks, but it's the same thing that we're doing. So the dog has now adapted and been desensitized to what happens at group class, because he knows that these are the things that happen. And they wake every week, 1 hour, same day, like the dog even
same day, dogs same, even same day, same time, same place, right?
And even
same dogs.
Exactly. Even Bernice with Luna, she's like an active group class attendee. She comes often and she said the exact same thing last class. She goes, man, I just walk in here and she just is mellow, calm, doing the right things. But somewhere else she may bark at a thing you know, just not listen and pull and all that sort of stuff. So I'll just read the question here. So it was just this morning, I happened to be speaking with Angie. I'm like, hey, doing an episode with Luke, do you have a topic that you'd like to hear about? She says, yeah, have you done one on mindset with high drive dogs? It's a big one I'm working through with Gun at the moment, trying to calm his mind because he's always switching to work or frantically on the go. I'm like, what issues have you had or what are you trying? It's hard to do it on the podcast topic like this, I'm sure, for no pressure. There's no pressure and we're just chatting. And actually, open questions like this is really important, because the thing that makes you successful or not successful within your training is not your obedience routines. It's not even how you reward. It's not all the technical dog training stuff, but it's more your mindset approaching the training. So that's why this is cool. He picks up on context being in group class, etc. But if I took him to Ramsgate or even onto the corner of my street, he'd just stand there and ignore. Oh, no. On my street, just stand there and ignore him. He can't handle it. So if she stands there and ignores him, he can't handle it. I've been tethering heaps in different areas, less food reward, as this takes him back into work mode, and I've started to verbally correct his crying. It's a slow drag. If he's in a command, he's much easier, but that's not helping in general mindset. So it's true. You can tell a dog to down or to look, and the dog is now not whinging, leaking, you know, and he's focused on a task.
Yeah.
But then how do we generalize that to just be everywhere? So managing a higher drive dog, again, we're assuming this has, and I know this is the fact that she is doing the biological fulfillment, the walks every day. She's got the structure, the boundary. She's got the, like, everything's happening. So normally we would say, yeah, it's because your dog doesn't have the job. You probably don't have the right gear on. You know, you're probably not fulfilling the dog in the background so that he doesn't have a billion monkeys on his back.
But all those boxes have been ticked.
We're ticked. Now, there could be probably improvement in all those different things. And I'm going to tee up with Angie over the next month and we're going to see what's happening, because I've been seeing a lot of Gunner at group class and I haven't been seeing a lot of Angie and Gunner outside of group class. So there could be a few things that she's doing that I would probably be wanting her to do.
Mm-hmm.
So a few things I would mention is, well, let's just think about, well, why doesn't he act like a goose at group class, but he acts like a goose when we're on the street? Is it that, now in side note, I've been telling Angie and I tell a lot of my clients, stop feeding so much to your dog. When your dog's in a good down and we've proofed the down, we rarely have to reward the dog for just holding it down because a dog walks past or because a thing happens. You may want to reward from time to time. You still want to keep the command clear and strong.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe too much feeding can hinder the process. Now, yeah, she marks and rewards. Boom, he's in food drive. He's ready to go. He's like, now we're doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this comes down to, well, we just manage him. He's still a young dog. He's, how old is he? I don't remember. Maybe while I'm talking, I'll pull up her information from my calendar here. Could you maybe I'll just quickly do that now? Do you have, oh, here we go. I'm just going to find a date of birth here. No, it was before the new system. I didn't have it there. She'll correct me and we'll put in the notes somewhere. He's roughly around 2 years old. So he probably hasn't fully matured yet. 3 years old is generally that time. I would have also seen that within Chile, that around that age, 2.5 to 3.5, you start seeing a transition. Dogs start to mature. One thing that I wanted to do an episode on was maturity doesn't make a dog calmer. Maturity enhances what it is that you are.
Say that again.
So maturity, we say when he grows up, he will just be calmer.
Right.
I think maturity like ferments and enhances or amplifies
what's already there.
So if you are, you know, if Angie just continues doing what she's doing, maturity will start to cement a lot of that for him to have the rest of his like adult life to be that thing where oh, you know, my dog just runs around the backyard and eventually he'll just grow up. He probably will at like 7, 8 years old and he's sore.
You want to wait that long.
You know, and even at 3, 4 years old, he may just be really good and really professional at certain behaviors or certain mindset. So maturity doesn't always, like, how many times do we see a person who's 70 and they're still that 25-year-old self? Now, that's not always a bad thing. You got youth and life and you're exciting and you're a cool person. But you want maturity in terms of like wisdom, life experience.
Yeah.
You know, so you can give somebody advice if they're searching for it rather than just having a good time. So obviously that there's that balance. So as Gunner will continue to mature, I believe things will start happening. But maybe I'm going to assume a few things. So this isn't just to Angie, but to other people in this similar situation is when you leave the house, is it as consistent as structured as our group class? Or is the walk like, I've got half an hour, I've got to get places?
Yeah. Is it about the training or is it about like, I've got to cover X distance in X time, right?
And I'm sure but I go to Ramsgate and I tether him and we just hang around. But I still feel like that could still be a very predictable thing. We go there, we tether you, we go do something.
In the same place too?
Yeah. Probably. I'm pretty sure she's generalizing it because I would have told her that.
Okay.
Or even just going down the corner and going, so now he sees, because for him, if he sees the little birds and the little sparrow birds, not sparrows, they're not miners either. You know, the birds are just kind of like in the park, they just keep going around circle and getting all the bugs.
Oh, yeah.
I know the word. It's at the tip of my tongue.
It's not sparrow, is it?
Nah, sparrows Finch? Are like, yeah, like little finches and stuff. Yeah. They just kind of like all flutter around and he just wants to chase them.
Yeah.
So sometimes she'll use obedience. And then the reward is released to go chase the birds and have fun. So I think when he starts seeing birds, especially down at Ramsgate, he gets all jacked up.
Okay.
And then he's like, and then she's going, like quiet. Now, one thing that she mentioned in there is because you can give a leash correction for a whinge, but you're not really stopping the whinging. The whinging may stop, but you can't punish that leaking. Like the, because it's a reflection of how they're feeling more so than a behavior they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you're getting nervous and you like, you know, touch your neck all the time when you get nervous and you keep touching your neck and adjusting your hat and I kept slapping you saying, stop touching your hat, stop touching your neck.
Yeah.
You keep touching your neck, stop touching your neck.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably do more touching of the neck. You're paranoid and more anxious now.
You've made it into a thing now.
Exactly. And also I may stop the touching of the neck and the hat so you can play with your ring or so you can tap your leg. Like that displacement behavior will come out. So him leaking is him in like some sort of prey drive. He's excited. He wants to move through time and space and he wants to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And tethering and doing nothing and then going back home, going out, doing nothing, going back home will start to show the dog that this doesn't always happen. Now, I've been able to achieve this with Chili because that is true. All day, every day, we're doing different things. Sometimes we're working and training, which is such a small percentage of the actual day. Like what I mean by training with the ball and doing an active training session.
Mm.
Training, again, such a squirrely word because training is life. It's the things that your dog learns so that those drills become a thing. So, but we know what we're talking about. There's a lot of the time he's sitting in the car doing not much. And then when he does come out, after laying down for an hour and a half, I'm like, okay, out. Down, the down out in the concrete to like, I'm holding a dog may be lunging or barking, could just be a puppy, could just be a happy-go-lucky dog. So we're doing all these different things. And there's times where he comes out of the car and he has to hold that down and not move a muscle, even though he wants to get up, even though I can tell that he's getting up because there's a thing happening over there and I'll remind him, hey, hold that down. He may whinge and I'll tell him, oi, quiet, just because it annoys me and I don't want to hear it. Does that mean that I've stopped him for next time? Most likely not. If I want him to stop whinging, it's because it's a mindset that he has to be in. I'm just here now. We're not going to that thing that I may want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I get so many reps of it is that it now is just his life. It's his being. It's just what he does. So is going to the corner or going to Ramsgate, is it something that we just do or is it a thing we're doing? Again, I'm like being a little bit maybe kind of like abstract today with the words. But that's kind of where we're at. It's a paradoxical situation. I need to get the dog out, Panos. I have to go take him stuff, and I have work to go to. I don't have the luxury of just hanging around and just staying in nature, getting a tan and playing with dogs all day, Panos. So that could be the response from some people. So how do we change it now? A lot of it could have been, all right, fine, existential feeding. Food comes from the hand. I go to the corner there when he calms down, I feed him. And so like that is also happening too. So it's not like we can even give that advice. Yeah. My advice would be going to the place and again, I would love to see what Angie and Gunnar are doing after some of the advice I give here so that I can come back to the episode, to the podcast, and then explain, well, actually, I was wrong about that thing. She has been doing that thing, and this is what we did, and we're going to see what that's going to become like. Because these high drive dogs are not really easy to live with in regards to, they're not just the cuddle bunny, the couch potato, the dog that just is a joy to be around. They always are looking for work. And especially where, and one thing that Angie may have created a little bit of a monster is that getting into too much of the training may have made him very dopaminergic. Like every activity so we're doing, we're going to do something.
He's seeking that reinforcement. I think so. Yeah.
And it could be coming externally too now.
Yeah.
If he's going out to go play with the birds.
Mm.
So, and Angie is calculated, and, but she's also, and like, you know, excuse me, Angie, but you're like, but she's not, like, she'll get the dog in trouble and she'll correct the dog.
Yeah.
And, but she's a lovely lady. She's a lovely girl. So she's, where like if it was maybe like knock it off, lay down, it's enough. Like it's social, you know what I mean? Like the way I talk to Chili. Now again, that may make me sound like I'm an asshole, but no, I'm just very assertive. I know exactly what I know, and I know exactly what train of thought you're on. Don't think about it. You're going over there. And some feedback that I'm getting, because what I do on a daily basis for me just seems like a normal thing. Yeah, I talked about it on the podcast, but getting feedback from some of the people that are shadowing with me. Mm. So I've been getting a few this year, and I asked them for feedback for a few reasons. I want to know, well, what is it that you're learning? Give me some feedback so I know that I can continue to teach others.
Yeah.
Number two is I need you to write down the thing that you've seen today and observed and learned, and then send it to me just so you've written it down and crystallized your thoughts so you can come back on it a month later and be like, yeah, actually true, I did learn that, because you think you've remembered it, but you're not.
Yeah.
And then, but also I want to see, well, what am I doing? What is it that you're learning from me? And how can I be more observant? And the common thing that's coming back is, like two that I'll discuss here is, one of them is the analogies and the examples specific to the person that I'm with will change but still be the same. But then also the advice, which is exactly where we're here now, is that he's like, I know the things that you're doing, but the way that you see it's going to happen and the way that you implement it as it's happening, but then redirecting the dog and the person to kind of stay on track and not kind of go down a rabbit hole.
Mm.
It's like, that was like, that's always happening. Keeping somebody back on track. Just like if we have an interview, like if we're doing, having a guest on, which we apologize, I want to get more guests on, and I've been reaching out, but too many American people, it's hard to line up our times, but we'll get somebody on soon. So having a guest on and we want to have a specific topic, but then we go on a tangent. Our job is to bring them back. Bring them back onto just like what we're doing in a training session. And then also what I want the person to do to the dog. So it may not be about look at me, name game, and jacking up the dog. It could be as much as for the next 2 weeks, we're not training and we're having a break and we're going to be sitting down places a lot. And maybe we train in the backyard or something. We'll do some like fulfillment because, you know, we don't want to like completely turn it off, but we're not leaving the house with food. We don't leave the house with the ball. We're going places and we're doing nothing. As if you've got an ACL tear and, for example, maybe that's an extreme. Let's say you've got some sort of injury and we need to rest your legs because your leg or your hip is a bit inflamed and we can't do any work, because I think the work keeps them very dopamine.
Hey, can I ask you something? Just came to mind. Did you teach James Smith to pee where he wants the dog to pee?
I did.
Because I saw it on his story. It made me laugh. And he's like, what's the dog's name?
Alfie.
Alfie. He's like, I've started peeing where I want Alfie to pee in the garden. And he goes, we just spend all day marking each other's territories. Made me laugh.
Well, see, he was saying, man, the dog doesn't want to go in the backyard and pee. And he, when he's peeing in the backyard, he does it right at the base of the deck, like just where the tree is, like where this grass is.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, well, typically with entire males, especially entire males, if you just go and pee on the back fence, he's going to go pee right after you. You can get pheromone sticks and get other dogs pee and all that sort of stuff. But like, I don't know, give it a try. It can't be the worst thing in the world, pee on a tree.
Yeah.
And Taylor was saying how every single pee, just James goes out the back there and pees, and then
that
and the
is dog will go
and
follow.
And and that is now the new spot. I walk in the backyard, you don't immediately smell urine because it's right at the back there, and it's perfect. Works well.
Love it.
There you go. See, some things aren't as we were talking about, as, you know, dog training simple.
Yeah, but don't overcomplicate it, right? Yeah.
Some things are just that easy, you know?
Yeah,
obviously, scatter feeding in the areas and, you know, having him inside and taking him to the spot you want to go to. We can do all those things as well. But this works really well. So why not? Even better, having another entire male dog go in the back there and pee while the other dog's not there also is really, really good.
Yeah.
But right, back on track. Thank you, sir.
Sorry. it just sprung to mind and I was like, I meant to ask you that. I totally forgot.
Yeah. I paid big cash so I can learn to pee on the back fence. No.
So, hey, man, if the advice works.
100%. Yeah. You know, like, you know, just to his point as well, like all these people doing all these elaborate courses and this and that. It's like, eat less, move more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't lose weight. Eat less, move more. It's fucking simple. Like, don't over.
I'm not losing weight. Yeah, that's because you're not in a caloric deficit. It's simple.
And it's been 2 days. So give it some time. So, so with what I would suggest with Angie there is changing some of that routine. See, one thing that I was listening to Chris Williamson and was he talking to Rogan, I think. I heard him doing one with Alex Hormozy. That was awesome. I highly recommend listening to that one. So I think he was talking to Rogan and he was saying how there's three different Chris's. There's dopamine Chris, serotonin Chris, and cortisol Chris.
Right.
Dopamine Chris is the podcast, make money, business, all that stuff.
Right.
Serotonin Chris is going for a walk with friends in nature, feeling more here and now with friends and family and just the things that you love to do. And the third thing is cortisol Chris is like dealing with the emails and the stress of the things that have to happen. And he goes, look, and three of them are like enjoyable in their way. But he's trying to spend more time in serotonin Chris.
This is Chris Williamson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can imagine him saying
who funnily enough is James Smith's business partner in the new tonic drink. So we've gone full
and I had some new tonic drinks the other day.
Oh, you can't buy it here.
I didn't buy it.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. So he obviously gave you some. You can't because the government's so bloody strict here, you know.
Because
there's all these rules around the ingredients that are in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can only buy it in the States and in the UK. I'd love to try it.
It was really nice, man. The citrus one was really good. Yeah, it was fun. I drank one on the way home, like, wow, this is good. I'm all pepped up. I ran out. So I need to get some more. Well, maybe we should go to America and buy some.
Yeah. Maybe the government should just let them sell it.
It's people who sell alcohol. How can you not drink? How can you not sell
A
bit of
it's madness.
Energy. Crazy stuff. And monster drinks are like probably the worst thing for people when they can and they sell them, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so speaking about those three different versions of yourself neurologically, not psychologically, is Gunnar leaving the house dopaminergically? Is he thinking like things are happening and he's like there? Because does Chili always feel like that every time he gets out of the car? Well, he probably would if I brought him out of the car and always worked him.
Yeah.
Then every single time I got him out of the car, he'd be thinking da 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 da. Where I specifically made him dopaminergic Chili when I go, you ready? Like if I go, you ready? He's like, whoa. Or if I give a command, if I give like one of the formal commands, boom, he's in the state of mind.
Yeah.
Where most of the other time it's like, now is he in serotonin chili when he comes out of the car and I make him lay down? Maybe sometimes it's cortisol chili. Maybe sometimes it's stressful for him. Like, you know, has to deal with dogs doing shit. He wants to go run around. Like, I'll let him pee first because he's probably sitting in the car for a while. So he has to pee. Then I get let him lay down in the shade. A lot of times he goes back to sleep. So he'll just go to sleep, probably serotonin. When he sees like there's activity happening, it's a dodgy dog, maybe a bit of cortisol. And then if I ask him to do something, even while in that work, I get him back into dopamine. Now, again, I don't know if I'm like losing people right now, but thinking about training on this level, like chemically, neurologically, physiologically, is really important, because when you're training a dog, you're changing the makeup of their brain. Like, you're changing the matter in how neurons are connected and how the brain is actually like mushy. Whatever the brain's sort of worminess looks like, you change that matter, the gray matter in that. So we're not just like, psychology is about thinking, thoughts, feelings, but the neurology is about the chemical reactions responsible for the thoughts and feelings. And if you really want to change a dog's behavior, you want to change their thoughts, and then underlying that, changing their feelings. So if we want to think about it this deep, that's why I said at the beginning, Angie's doing the basic stuff. And I don't think anyone else would have, like many people would have the issue she has, only because she is now gotten the dog into such a good working state. And another problem with training, like I said, I've done 3 different demos in the group class. On class 4 of every group class, demo 1 is a 1-minute downstay, walk around the basketball court, no leash on the dog in the basketball court. Call the dog to come, send him to a bed 2 meters away from the bed into the middle. Demo 2 is walk in a straight line, have the dog in a heel while in walking motion, tell the dog to down, walk away while walking, tell the dog into middle, while walking down, walk away, recall. And then demo 3 is send the dog to the bed and then walk 10 meters away from him, get him into the middle, walking while walking into the heel, weaving around, weaving, and then that's the end of demo 3. So Angie's done demo 3. So now, so my point of the demos is, people that come to class, I'm like, yes, we want our dogs to behave, we want our dogs to listen to us. But the demo's like, if you can't, now base minimum, I would love every single dog to be able to do demo 1, a 1-minute downstay, recall to you from 10 meters, send them to the bed and into the middle in a new environment they've never been in, because those dogs generally don't go into that basketball court. And kids have been there throughout the day, so there's stuff on the floor, food and things. So it's a distracting environment, and it's a demonstration, not an assessment. So I'm not trying to assess anybody. I'm just demonstrate your skills. Show me what you've got. And doing that means that when these people go, I don't know what to do when I'm training my dog, I'm like, no, you're working towards your demo. You're always working towards that. Now, if you can't get at this block, then you come back in 6 months and then demonstrate it again. So there's something for people to work on every single day in how they can give the dog their ball and their tug and their food. You're working towards a thing. So people that do sport training have the trial. We aim towards a trial. Every training session's towards those skills, get points, get the medal. Yay. Mm-hmm. But what about everyday people? What's the thing? Where are we aiming at? And then if we're going deep into training and making our dog do things, I think Angie needs somewhere to put all that energy towards. Agility training, I think, would be fantastic for Gunner. Flyball, he would love it. But flyball, I think, is a little bit boring. Sorry, flyball people. Like, it's cool when the dogs run fast and come back. I get it. But I think agility is a little bit more,
they're going to come for you,
connected with you. You're sending the dog places. You've got to run around the field. You've got to, you know, do all the difficult stuff with them. And there's a whole bunch of other different sports that. But I think agility or flyball, nose works is cool. I just think that nose works would be it's not suited for Gunners. Like, Gunner will be really good at it. And if Angie wants to go down that, like, I'd support it for sure.
Yeah.
But if you have something that you're putting all your training towards, so the demos are one thing. Most everyday people are going, hey, look, I train my dog. I try to get towards those demos. I come to group class. We work on it. Happy days. I live my good life with my dog. But if you're going into like enthusiast level training, we have to be aiming at somewhere. So if you're not aiming at somewhere, what are you aiming for? So with my dog, Chili, I'm always working on something, as I mentioned in last episode, about verbal commands, nonverbal commands. I'm working on that nonverbal command side of things to be as clear as possible. That's going to take me ages to get to those things. That's cool. We're at least aiming towards something. And if you don't have somewhere to aim at, I just don't know what the dog knows to put it. Like, we'll go to the park and then do a mad training session. So the dog now thinks, okay, I leave the house, leads on. Now we're going to a park potentially, and we're going to do that fun stuff, or maybe chase birds, or something's going to happen. So every time I leave the house, I'm going to be in this state of mind. I don't know how to stop because I'm, and you can see how that can just keep winding and winding and winding until you explode. So can we now, the tethering and the ignoring, just standing somewhere and just like doing nothing, maybe working, but if we're trying to if we're trying to get rid of this behavior, I don't think we can punish it. I think we should just do extinction by saying you will perform the behavior until it doesn't happen anymore. Another problem with that is that if it's self-fulfilling, if it's self-reinforcing, and that feeling is the feeling that they want, then that could be hard. But I don't think that's the case for Gunner. I think he's just switched on. He thinks he's going somewhere that's going to potentially be something exciting for him, something fulfilling for him. So he's just going to keep aiming at somewhere. So working on the complete opposite, if you can think of yin and yang, think of the yin to all of her yang. The yang is exercise, work, train. Now, when the dog's inside, I'm not sure what he's like inside. I'm pretty sure he's pretty kicked back and chilled inside. I think it's as soon as we leave the house or get in the car. So I know Angie does work from home time to time, I think. So if I were her, I would take that lappy to a park bench and do 2 hours of work on the park bench. Or I'd go to the park where we play and read a book or something. Like maybe not standing around for 10 minutes is long enough. Maybe she's done 20 minutes. Maybe she's done half an hour. But I'm pretty sure she hasn't done 2 or 3 hours.
Mm.
Now, is that even feasible? Probably not. But if it can be, like, so I'm saying, like, you know, find a way that it can work two on two and like you're doing work as well. And trying to find what are the triggers prior to getting to the corner or being at Ramsgate. Is it the car? Do we have to just sit in the car for ages and just sit around and go back inside? Do we have to go just into the front yard? I'm not sure how much she hangs out in the front yard of her house. Maybe long lead on or no lead, because I'm pretty sure he can be chewing in the front yard. And we do nothing in the front yard. We just hang. Is that transitional space the beginning of, oh my God, we're going into work mode? And to correct, like, and also we have to find out, like, what's the actual issue with that? Like, what is the problem? Is it that he's making whingy noises? Or is it that his energy is a little bit just over the top and it's frustrating?
Mm.
Is it causing any actual problems? Because maybe if we're going down this deep of the rabbit hole, maybe we just see, like, we can sometimes fall into like control freak behaviors. Like everything needs to be under my control.
Mm.
Thoughts?
I think you got it in one. I think it's all about balance though, right? Like you can't have too much of, you don't want to have too much of one thing versus the other.
Mm-hmm. How about too Shadow? When is he dopaminergic and is it clear when he's on?
When we're at the park, yeah. When we're at the park and I've got the chuck it.
So if you went to the park with or without a chuck it and just sat on the park, like on the floor, on the ground rather, would he be staring at you like, can you hurry up and throw the ball? Or would
he doesn't really... Like for him, the park is not really, it's not really a place of relaxation.
Yeah.
It's like we're on. Mm-hmm. So, and he, if I don't have the chuck it, he's just as inclined to, like, if I'll just release him and he'll just go and he'll just run around in circles and just sniff the ground for half an hour. He likes doing that as well.
And if you, and is there like a, hey, come relax, just relax. We're watching me.
Yeah. Like if I tether him or I put him in a down, mm-hmm. yeah, he'll do that. But okay. Not by choice.
Not by choice, but in behavior. Yeah. Because if she told Gunner lay down, he'd be boom.
The only time he would choose to lay down is when he's like, he loves to chew sticks. So if he finds a stick, he'll just lie down and chew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So similar situation, right? So mm-hmm. if I was to say, and this is another reason why I have those formal, informal commands. And I'll tell you a few of them. So if I'm in the park and I go, Kato, which is Greek for down.
Yep.
So he'll go bang into a down and like look at me like, holy shit, you may throw the fucking ball.
Like we're on.
His eyes. And sometimes I'll be like, okay. And he'll go, and I'll use that typically when I am going to reward him. Now, I may not have rewarded him in that rep, but I may have told him to do a bunch of other things. Mm. Then I'll produce a ball and reward him, keeping intermittent and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that in the emergency moment, he sees, I don't know, the other day, we saw a guy riding a horse down the street. So random.
What?
Yeah, yeah. This like Lebo guy, big, huge mullet, shirtless, just
riding
I'm
a
like,
horse.
Yeah, I'm totally. I followed him. I recorded it. It was hilarious. And now, like, there's videos of him on Instagram, like hanging out on like riding the horse and doing cool shit on Brighton Beach. And all these people are really upset about it. And he's just like cruising around. Anyway, so let's just say I'm in the park and a horse goes past, and Chili's like, oh yeah. I may chase that.
Mm.
And I'd be like, gato. Like I'll get more reliability from that down, but I'll also get him to be like the reward may come. So I've got that reliability and strength. If I tell him down, it's because we're probably watching Leonardo play at the playground and I need you to stay under the shade because there's a whole bunch of kids around and I don't think they'll appreciate Chili walking around peeing on everything. I'll tell them down. There'll be other times where I won't tell them down because he doesn't actually have to lay down. I just go, hey, wait, just chill. Stay there. Those are the three other words that mean not anything super specific, but like don't mess around. Just hang around there. Lay down, sit on one foot. I don't care what you do. Just don't be a pest. Now, again, that's very informal, but he knows what it means. I'm like, hey, like stay there. He's like, but if I went like a gato, he'll go into like a sphinx down and like stare at me. Ears pointy. But if I go wait there, sometimes his ears will go back a little bit like, well, all right. And he'll lay down or like just hang out. So because of that, I don't want him to be like, And in behavior, I want him to just be chill. So that also will help with what does he think is going to happen here now? How many times do you think I've taken the dogs to a playground? Contextually, they're like, meh, this is what we're doing. Now, at first may have been, I tie you to the pram, but then now I don't have a pram anymore. So it may have been like a little trike thing, but now it's not going to be a trike thing anymore. Now it's a scooter, like an actual like bike with training wheels. So like the things are evolving, but also the behaviors are staying the same. There's different pictures now. We may be in different places. So I'm wondering when she says I put him into a down, he's in behavior and he's good. He's not leaking or anything like that. So like, does that make sense? When you have a dog in a behavior compared to just being chill. So let me just pull up this, put this up again real quick. Started verbally correcting crying. Slow drag, even commands easier, but it's not helping his general mindset. So we have to think about what is the general mindset? Where is he at when he's doing these activities? Can we be predictably unpredictable? Are we being a little bit too predictable? Are we trying to be so unpredictable, but not enough that it's not doing anything? So, and also Ramsgate's a loaded place. Like Ramsgate's our local sort of shops and township, I guess you can call it. So there's a lot going on. There's little birds, there's people, there's dogs. It's all happening. So I would probably entertain the thoughts for Angie's. What is it that you need? What is the actual big problem? Is that problem a problem that needs to be fixed, or is it something that she has to kind of deal with? Because he's not misbehaving. He's just switched on. Now, maybe that annoys her because she's aware that he switched on and most people just wouldn't even, like, not even care. So, and also, how many times are we giving the dog that picture for him to understand? Like, if I can see him doing a group class and all the dogs that come to group class, and that's the biggest complaint and something that I probably need to fix, to be honest. So, my headphones just went really loud. Did my microphone go loud for you?
No.
No, cool.
It's all normal.
So I just started pushing the microphone away because I thought it was too loud. So if that's a common complaint for group classes, we come to group class and they behave here, but they don't behave out there. What I tell people all the time is the things that you're doing here and the things that you're struggling with here becomes the things that you practice at home. But when I say at home, I don't mean in the yard. Actually, in fact, I don't want you to train your dog in the backyard or in the house at all. In the house is zero. In the backyard, a lot less. Front yard, maybe.
It's not going to help you. Yeah.
I want training to happen. Now, I know that's contrary to what I was saying before. Maybe Angie needs to do less stuff out and about, but this is going to be more unique to her. But when I'm telling people generally at group class, it's because your walks are a different energy and it's only been 2 months since you're trying to start a new thing. The dog's been doing this for years. Now, with Gunner, I think what was happening is too many walks were associated with food. Look at me and I'm going to feed you and do this behavior. I'm going to have fit. So the walk itself became this big, huge, awesome dopaminergic job. Okay. And now it's hard for him to restructure his mindset because he's now in this random and intermittent reinforcement schedule, being out and about thinking there's opportunities everywhere rather than those things don't excite me. So when I was doing counter conditioning with Chili and he didn't like the guy with the fishing rod and I had all of his food in my pouch and he would look at the guy and then growl and carry on. So I'd get his focus on me and reward him. He'd see the guy, focus on me, and eventually he'd look at it, look at me, reward. Then that thing got closer, critical distance got less and less to the point where a fishing rod guy would walk past, and Chili was snapping his head back and forth between the fishing rod and me, fishing rod and me, fishing rod and me. Way too excited, like psyched about the fishing rod. And I'm like, this is the moment we stop. We don't do this anymore. I've not only desensitized you, well, I haven't desensitized now. I made you very sensitive, very excited about it. But I stopped rewarding, maybe a bit of praise from time to time. And then I achieved desensitization. And he was fed existentially with all of his kibble from this pouch for that first 2 months. But after that, I did go to like a normal feeding schedule from a bowl because I achieved what I wanted. If I did another 6 months of feeding from my pouch every time we left the house, which again, admittedly, yes, he is sometimes because I've got a pouch on most of the time we're out of the house with my clients. But also, I'm not rewarding every single time he's done the right thing. So I think it's like a different context. But even if I took him for an ordinary walk with my dogs, there was a time where it was like, we don't need food on me anymore. And that, I think, was important to do because I didn't want the dog to become a little junkie when going out on the walk.
Being food drive the whole time.
Yeah, just like, it's kind of crude, should I say it here, whatever. So if a guy always goes out and like, let's just say he's like in his 30s, he's a bit of a Casanova. He gets the chicks. He's opportunistic all the time. Any opportunity, like every time he leaves the house, he's thinking about girls. He goes out. The point of going out was to have fun, but of course, girls. So like, there's this like mindset, like you're dopaminergic every time you leave in the house. He's like looking and thinking and like, how is it that I could like, you know, make a move here and how, whatever. And even though there's some excitement to that, it's stressful. Like it's a stressful activity. Now, when that person now has a partner and they, you know, they're together and, you know, potentially maybe they'll become like, you know, married and stuff. But then that person has to now have to change his mindset about how he sees going out because he's seeing it as opportunity, reward. Like this, we'll face it. This person's not going out. When am I going to find my wife? The guy's going out because he's a bit of a playboy. So with that opportunity. And like, you know, it's a state of mind that may be hard to shake because you're not going to shake it in 2 months if you've been doing it for 15 years. And of course, it's culture. It's been reinforced by your social group. So my point there is to change a habit, to change a mindset. Now that guy can change his behaviors. He can go out with his new girlfriend and be like, I don't do anything wrong. But does that mean that he's not like thinking about it? Hitch, you know, the movie Hitch and Will Smith.
Seen that actually.
Oh, no. So, yeah, it's cool, man. It's funny. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And, but like, that's the, like, he's trying to teach these guys mindset about how to see the game, we'll call it, right? Now, I know some people may, you know, find that
the game,
you know, disgusting and misogynistic and stuff. And I'm not trying to be like that. I'm just trying to think of instinctiveness. I'm not talking about like any like people, okay, we can change it. We can be dopaminergic in every time a man goes out and he's a business guy, he can't help but think about business deals. Oh, that's a good opportunity there. Or look at that opportunity. Or look at this opportunity. Or, you know, somebody who hasn't got much money and who used to, and like didn't have enough money, used to be a thief, used to, you know, participate in criminal activity so he can get what he wants. And then now he's changed his life and things are happening, but he's still probably thinking about, oh, that's an opportunity. Now, some of those people change and become like ops to be like, there's an opportunity here. Let's fix these holes. You know, so my point here is I'm using those examples because these are instinctive. They're dopaminergic. It's like there's a reward, like, you know, not the pursuit of happiness, but the happiness of the happiness of pursuit.
It's dopamine.
Yeah, it's the thing of what we're trying to do and how do we change our mindset when we're leaving the house? You got to change your values. Now, how do I change a dog's values? I've got to change I remember we talked before about like in another episode, my behavior is a reflection of mindset. And the only way to change mindset is by changing behavior. You can't change a mindset without forcing behavior to change. Now you can do it chemically by meds and stuff, but we want to avoid that. So if I can change mindset by changing behavior, and if I change behavior enough to change mindset, mindset changes enough so that it can reflect behavior again. So you get anxious in a social setting, you can go home and turn off all the pressure, or what you could do is learn how to, okay, let me give you an example. So I had a client the other day and I was probably fully out of my lane, but I thought it was affecting her and we had to deal with it. The apartment was very echoey. This Labradoodle freaked out. I walked in the house and bah, 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 like full intense barking and such a small echoey space that it like it's really loud. But also the lady has sound sensitivity. So every single time the dog barks, she would like clinch. She'd like squirm. And I'm like, oh, I feel really bad, right? I feel bad for you. I feel bad for the dog. There had to be a moment because the dog was barking at me. There was a moment where we put it outside, but the dog was barking even more. And we've had complaints with the noises. So we had to bring the dog back inside. So we went outside in the hot sun to talk while the dog was barking inside. So I'm like, let's just go back inside. And then the dog continued to bark. I can see how much it was affecting the owner. And I just told the dog to stop. I gave him a verbal correction, walked into his space, did that twice. He stopped. We did the session. He was participating with me. He was actually at the end of the session, he liked me. So even though he was scared of me and I told him that's enough. And I walked into his space and like, oh my God, what happened? That he stopped. And then he would bark from time to time. And every time he barked, she would flinch. And I say, hey, look, like, I'm just going to offer some advice, but I don't really know like if this is right or not.
Mm.
But when he barks, you flinch and like move away from him. It's like where he, what I need is like he barks at a sound. I want to change how you deal with his barking. If you're flinching and trying to deal with the barking, you can't communicate to the dog. And maybe you're reinforcing the dog in some way, whether first of all, just by letting him bark, but also by like moving away and kind of crouching down. It just kind of, it doesn't really assert yourself.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to now tell you to assert yourself while you're cringing. There's like two opposite states of mind. So I said, okay, first of all, when like he bark again, and I go, when he barks and you flinch, do the reflexive action. It is what it is. But immediately after you notice you do that, pin your shoulders back and breathe. So you're going to flinch, you're going to force. You're going to flinch, ba, ba, ba. You're going to flinch. Now you're going to do this often enough that I'm hoping, if you're consistent enough, that he bark and you can try to gain a bit more control over your reflexes. Again, I'm out of my wheelhouse here. I'm no like your therapist and shit. But in this, for this to work, this can happen. Now, I gave an example for me, and I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on the potty, but I'll say it anyway. So when I was 17, I got stabbed. It was a bad time in my days. It was quite dark periods, you know, nightmares, post-traumatic stress, all that sort of like things would trigger all these different things, walking at nighttime, darkness. There was issues. After a couple of years, I resolved my things and things were like, you know, I was quite young and I had a foundation and I was, you know, I was just blessed that I didn't have anything that like lasted anything like long-term, physical and mental, but there was an emotional. But there was one thing that lingered for ages, like 5-6 years later, is if I walked down the street and locked eyes with another male, human male, I'd look at him and as soon as I lock eyes, I look away and go, fuck man, I don't want to look away. Like I'm not actually scared, but subconsciously it's like, don't cause problems. Don't look at another man. Just look away. And I'm like, ugh. So, and I'm like, this is really frustrating me. And I didn't know what I should do about it. Anyway, so I was speaking to sensei one day and I said, hey, like after class, I've got a question. This is what's happening. What do you reckon? He's like, oh, it's pretty, because it's not like what I think there's a threat everywhere every time I see somebody. So I shape up, like I'm going to shape up to everyone.
Right.
And he's teaching me fighting. I'm like, how do I deal with this mentally, emotionally, rather than physically? Because let's just say I looked away. The guy runs at me. All right, fine. I'll do a number on him. And then we have a reason, but no one's fighting me on the street, bro. Like, so my subconscious is acting one way. My conscious mind's acting another. And he says, every single time you lock eyes with somebody, you just smile and say hello. That's it.
You change your, what's the word? Change your
counter-condition, right?
Yeah, counter-condition. Yeah.
Like straight up, instead of like looking away, just force the, like, and I may look away, look back and go, hi, how you going? Just that. 95% of people will say hello back with a smile and happy. The other 4% are like probably didn't hear you or they're probably freaking out too. You know? And then you have the 1 or maybe 0.5% where like you get a bit of a look. Like, fuck you look. Yeah. And it's just like, that's cool. Now, let's just say if I can reason that, rationalize it, it's less than 1% of people that may potentially be a threat to me. And then even if they are potentially a threat, what's the likelihood that he's even going to do something to me?
Yeah.
It's like so small that it's like not even worth entertaining those numbers. And so now my reaction, I have an uncomfortable situation. Someone's looking at me weird. Oh, I think they're looking at me weird. Maybe I'm paranoid. And I'll be like, hi, how you going, mate? He's like, yeah, good. All right, cool. And then it's just like, it's just a thing now. I've changed my reaction, just like I was trying to change my client's reaction to the sound. Because if she can now like gain a bit more control over her reflex and then go, hey, knock it off, dog. I think the dog's not Lenny. Like, Lenny, quiet. It's enough. On your bed. Like, she'll have more authority. The dog will respond 100%, but she has to be in the place. But if she has to change her behavior, she has to change her mindset. To change her behavior, I mean, sorry, to change her mindset, she has to hack her behavior. She has to make the breathing. She has to make the shoulder back. You have to say hi to the guy. And then over time, you change how you feel when you're encountered with the stimulus so that you can then have a mindset that you don't have to force yourself. Your behavior, just act accordingly. What's happening with Gunnar when he leaves the house? What mindset is he in, and how? And we're trying to change the behavior, but are we trying enough that we can actually overcome the reflexes and the conditioning? And that's the job.
I feel like we've come full circle in this.
I think so. I think that worked out well. I'm going to leave it at that, because I feel like I did go deep on some topics. You know, I was transparent with my own situation, how I think. I think it's important as well. Like, you know, let's not bullshit and pretend that these raw instinctive things aren't happening to us. I know that some people don't like some of the examples I give, but
really?
Yeah. I think like someone's like, oh, it's a bit crude, man. It's a little bit like, you know, it's a bit raw. And I'm like, yeah, we're talking about dogs. They're quite raw. They're very connected to their instinctive drives. We need to cut the shit and pretend like we're not these only the civilized creature that we think we are, that we are still flesh and bone and instinctive hormonal and chemical reactions, you know. I also believe that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. I believe that too, but we separate that conversation today, and we will deal more in the animal today, to be like, we're animals. Dogs are animals. We have to treat the instinctive drives for what they are. The fact that you want to crush business is because you wanted to crush the hunting landscape, or you want to crush the enemy. It's like the same drive. Mm. It's in pursuit of a thing. Now, also there's a warrior spirit, and then there's like the nurturing spirit, you know? So you're probably more defensive of your house now than you were 2 years ago. Like a random noise happens now. You're like 2 years ago, you're like, meh, if the guy comes in, I'll knock him out. Now, like there's a strange sound, you're like, I'll be back. Go out there with the broom and you're like, you know, like that's normal. You've got a child that is completely defenseless. Your wife's trying to look after the child, so she's, you know, not as defensive as she could have been. Yeah. So because she has to nurture him. Like, and this is the situation in my house, and we run it through all the time. It's if something happens, like something happens in this house, like people happen, fire, you go in the yard, front yard, but like home invasion, dramas in the front yard, crazy person, someone who didn't like me, how they trained the dog, they found out where I lived. Like, I don't know, something crazy.
Yeah.
You run into the bedroom and lock the door with the kid. You're not like grabbing things. You're not acting like you're going to like do whatever. You're not doing nothing. You're like, you're hiding in the wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I will go out.
Yeah.
So, and we're having these conversations more than before, because it's just, it's a natural instinct.
Mm.
It's not any, and like now we're like, look at Panos the barbarian talking about fighting all the time. Hey man, you want me on your side potentially if you're in a dodgy situation. No one feels about dodgy situation until you need to be in it. Your dog's thinking like this all the time is my point. Your dog's in that realm. We have to plug into how they're feeling and thinking, so that way there we can kind of try to hack some of that. And if we're talking about conditioning, conditioning is where it's at, but it's the hardest thing because it takes so long. And she said it's a slow burn. Mm. I bet you she's better than she was 2 months ago, Angie and Gunnar. I bet you they were heaps better. But we're still having this conversation 2 months later, which means it's still a problem. So I'm going to go out and rectify it. And not to like be like, look at me, but I reckon three things will change everything. And it would have been so simple that it'd be annoying. Now, maybe not. Maybe so complicated to be like, I don't know what we're going to do here. We're just going to like see how we go. And then we may need to reach out, get some different opinions. You know, oh my God, how did I not think of that? Far out. You know, like I'm always open for that, 100%. So I think that's really important, because I think sometimes like one of the podcasts I did a couple months ago was that I think we spend so much time trying to train a dog that we forget to live with the dog. We forget to like just live, not train. If it's always training, if your life's only about business and podcast, all you're talking about is business and podcast. On a Sunday when you're at a restaurant and you start talking to your wife about business or the podcast, it's like, yeah. Like, what is it? It's like, oh, you're not interested. Oh my God, hold on. Maybe I talk about that too much. I'm too dopaminergic in a place where I should be in serotonin, in the here and the now. I'm with loved ones. Why am I thinking about that? Now I can tell you why, but no, force myself to like, no, yeah, you're right. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It's a Sunday now. We'll relax for a bit. Keep our shit together. How does your dog feel? He leaves the house and he's not thinking, oh, it's Sunday. He's thinking like, oh, ah. So
he doesn't know what day it is.
Another thing as well, real quickly, another podcast, because I was going through all the topics that we could talk about, but one of them is humans and dogs love the familiar. Like, we love routine. And I'm going to elaborate more on that in a podcast, but the familiar is where it's at. We try to make it unfamiliar so we can create some randomness, but the familiar is what you do. Like, you have your own habits and rituals, and you can try to change it up as much as possible. But if you're stuck in a routine, that can turn on you. But some routines are just routines. You need them. So is that routine and that habit or that processes, are they happening and are they turning on us? So that's something to kind of consider. And I will leave it there.
Maybe for a future episode.
Yeah, I'm planning a few seeds for next episodes as well. And as always, if you guys have any questions or any feedback to give us or anything that you'd love us to discuss about, we'll do that. I haven't forgotten about breed talk. I have not forgotten. It's just, I kind of forgotten. So
it's on the list.
Yeah. It's on the list. We'll get there. We'll have to get someone on. I do have a couple of people in mind, but again, we're well into the year now. So there's no, like, everyone's winding up and everything else. We're going to, we'll get more guests on, but if there's any guests that you would love to hear about, please send them through. Life with Your Dog podcast on Instagram is a good place to message us, because that way they both, me and Luke, can see them. And until next time, keep training your dog. And maybe for today, maybe don't train them so much. Maybe do something really boring with your dog.
Maybe go to the park and tether them and
just stretch. Not even tether if we can. Can we, like, get them? Because tethering can be a cue as well. If we tether him, he may be like, oh, I'm tethered now. Maybe tether him on a longer lead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something different. Or get those things that screw in the ground and tether him in the middle of the park rather than tying him to a thing.
I know what you mean.
Stake in the ground.
Yeah, stake in the ground. Yeah.
Or like long lead and tie it to your ankle or something, or like, you know, a lead tied to your ankle and just do some stretches or some meditation in the park.
Mm.
Like, something keeps different. And then do that like 27 times to see if it does anything.
Mm.
But change your mindset by changing your behavior. Much love to you all. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Life with Your Dog. Please share with your friends if you're enjoying our podcast, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help others find the show. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook, Life with Your Dog Podcast. My name's Panos, and to keep up with my dog training adventures, tips and techniques, you can find me on Instagram at np_dog_training, my website npdogtraining.com, or my YouTube channel, Nooches Pooches.
Thanks for listening, guys. My name's Luke. If you'd like to find out more about my dog training services, you can find me at www.kizuna, that's K-I-Z-U-N-A, canine.com.au. I'm also on Instagram at kizuna canine training. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.